The conversation continues at LarsLarson.com.
Welcome back to the program. We'll get back to your phone calls because it is First Amendment Friday in just a moment at 866-439-5277. Dr. John Law joins us now, who is president of the Crime Prevention Research Center and a great friend of this program. Dr. Law, I'm glad to have you come on just a few days before the Tuesday election that is going to decide so very much. And there are some ballot measures that are being voted on around the country as well, aren't there?
Yeah. I mean, while everybody's focusing on the presidential election, which has huge implications for many parts of the Bill of Rights, Michael Bloomberg is spending huge amounts of money, $12 million in Nevada, $8 million in Maine, to go and push the types of background check rules that you unfortunately have had to live with in Portland and Washington State.
Unfortunately. And John, just to put a point on it so people understand, you'll have people say, well, shouldn't we have background checks on every single transfer of a gun? And then a couple of weeks ago, John, one of the local sheriffs from a populous county in this area said, you know, if you have a friend who's depressed and you're worried about that friend possibly taking his life, maybe you should offer to take his guns into your custody for a while. Just hang on to him while your friend's going through his troubles or his difficulties. And I thought to myself, the sheriff just told everybody to break the law because you can't legally go to your friend's house and say, hey, buddy, why don't I hang on to your pistol and your rifle, you know, until you're through this rough patch. You're not legally allowed to do that.
Right. Well, I mean, I think you had a personal example of that in your own life with somebody.
I did. As a matter of fact, I had a friend who, you know, was in a position where, you know, his sweetheart thought that there might, you know, he might do something rash. And she said, can you take his guns and lock them up in your safe? And I immediately said, yes. And then I said, no, I can't. And she said, why not? Why wouldn't you? I said, because I'd be breaking the law by doing it. And it kind of stunned me because my first reaction was an immediate yes. And then I had to say, oh, heck, there's a law against that. I don't want to be a criminal.
Right. Well, unfortunately, there are many people who are generous and want to help out people like yourself who are going to find themselves becoming criminals. So under these ballot questions, question one in Nevada and question three in Maine, let's say you have a woman that you're good friends with, calls you up on a Saturday night. She's being stalked and threatened by an ex. And she asks you if she can borrow a gun for a couple days until she can go and buy one for herself. Even if you know she's a law-abiding citizen who is well-trained and able to go and use a gun, if you lend her your gun, even though she's being stalked, you would be committing a felony. You're only allowed to lend it to her when she's actually in imminent danger. That means literally the guy is right there threatening her. And as soon as he leaves, as soon as she is no longer in imminent danger, you'd have to take the gun back.
Yep.
You know, go ahead.
No, it's crazy. And so you got to warn these people. There are ballot measures on the agenda in California, Nevada, and Maine. And at least the last two states, you said the polls have tightened up significantly. We want people to think about this twice. If you pass these laws, the unintended consequences, John, back me up on this, could literally be deadly.
Oh, sure. Well, I mean, these rules, the current mess that the background check system's in, primarily stops law-abiding good citizens, and it makes it costly, and it's primarily the most vulnerable people in our society, poor blacks, poor Hispanics who live in high-crime urban areas, who are the ones who are going to be stopped from being able to go and get guns. When Hillary Clinton goes and says, well, there have been 2.4 million dangerous, prohibited people that have been stopped from buying a gun because of background checks, that's simply a lie. What she should say is that there have been 2.4 million initial denials, and virtually all of those, over 99%, are mistakes. Simply, somebody has a name similar to somebody that the government wants to stop. But there's no reason those mistakes should be made there. The government could fix them easily, but gun control advocates are more interested in passing rules that make it difficult for law-abiding citizens to get guns. All they'd have to do is have the same requirements that the government imposes on private companies when they do background checks on the government. I've been arguing this for 15 years. They have no desire to fix these things. And when President Obama talks about background checks in Washington, D.C., costs $125 to privately transfer a gun in Washington, D.C. There's states where it's lower. But who do they think gets stopped from being able to go and buy guns with these fees? You, in the example of your friend who you wanted to help out, you were telling me about how much it would cost for you to transfer each one of his guns to you if you were going to do a background check on each one.
Yeah, it's less expensive than D.C., but still, if you have a friend who has six or eight firearms and it would cost you, say, $50 a firearm, you're talking right. about $400. And then the minute you want to give those guns back, you have to reverse the process. You're not allowed to just assume that you can give them back. You have to run them back through the process backwards. John, it is a pleasure, as always, to have you on, and I'm glad for the work you do at the Crime Prevention Research Center. Dr. John Lott with us. It is First Amendment Friday. Let me go now to John. In